Title: Riser Timing for Jungle Drops at 170 BPM Advanced. Alright, let's get into some real jungle timing psychology at 170 BPM. Because at this tempo, risers aren't just noise up. They're timing tools. The difference between a drop that feels inevitable and one that feels kind of late or kind of soft is usually hiding in the last bar and honestly, in the last beat. Quick calibration so your brain hears time correctly. At 170 BPM, one bar is about 1.41 seconds, one beat is about 0.353 seconds, and 1/16th note is about 88 milliseconds. That means a tiny 1/16th mute is not a detail. That's the moment your listener's body decides whether the drop feels confident or like it tripped over its own shoelaces. Here's what we're building: a complete drop lead in FX lane, a primary riser over 8 or 16 bars, a micro riser just for the last bar, a vacuum tip in the last fraction of a beat, and a dedicated impact layer on the downbeat so you're not relying on the kick alone. Step 0. Set your grid like a pro. Set the tempo to 170. Go to arrangement view and decide your phrasing. Classic is 16 bars intro, 16 bars build, then drop. Or maybe 32 intro, 16 build, drop. Either way, put locators down. Build start, pre-drop one bar, and drop. And here's your timing reality check. At 170, a riser can't just smear. It has to talk rhythmically. It needs to feel like it belongs to the break. Next, workflow. Make a dedicated FX group. Create one audio track called FX Riser Bus. Then make a group with three layers inside it: Noise Riser, Tunnel Riser, and Pre-Drop Micro. The whole point is control. You want to be able to mute, automate, and process these as one unit without messing your main drums and bass. Now let's build the noise riser using stock devices. Create a MIDI track for operator. Set oscillator to a noise source, like white noise. Turn the filter on. Then draw a MIDI note for the full build length, 8 or 16 bars. For a solid starting point, set the filter to LP24. Start the cutoff low, around 200 to 400 Hz, and automate it up to around 16 or 18 kHz by the end. Add a little resonance, like 0.2 to 0.35, but don't get greedy because that's where harshness lives. For the amp envelope, keep it sustained, and set release around 200 to 600 milliseconds. You want energy, not a tail that smears into the downbeat. And when you automate the filter rise, do not make it a straight line. In jungle, tension is acceleration. We want a curve that ramps, then ramps harder. Add some motion. Drop auto pan after operator. Set it to sync at 1/8 or 1/16th, amount around 20 to 35%, and phase at 180 degrees so it feels wide and alive. Then add saturator, drive maybe 1 to 4 dB, and turn on soft clip for density. Teacher note: high pass your riser earlier than you think. If your riser has low end, it will steal the emotional impact of the drop sub. The drop sub should arrive and immediately own the spectrum. That's non-negotiable in this genre. Now layer 2, the tonal riser, because noise is energy, but pitch is narrative. Create another MIDI track in the group and load wave eatable or operator if you want it leaner. Start with a sawish tone. Keep unison to 2 to 4 voices, but low amounts so it doesn't get overly EDM wide. Use a band pass filter for that focus tension feel, or a low pass if you want it smoother. Add a tiny bit of FM or warp for grit. Subtle though. For pitch automation, a classic move is to rise 7 to 12 semitones over the build. A fifth or an octave often feels musical and confident, but if you want to avoid the siren build vibe, keep pitch mostly stable and automate brightness and distortion instead. Here's a slick DNB-friendly trick. In the last two bars, automate redux just a tiny amount. Downsample around 1.2 to 2.5. Very small. The idea is urgency, not obvious bit crush. Now we get to the main event. Riser timing inside the final bar. Zoom into the last bar before the drop. This is where the drop is either legendary or just fine. Conceptually, divide that last bar into four moments. Beats 1 and 2. Keep tension moving. Beat 3. Accelerate. Beat 4. Cue the listener and set up negative space. One of the biggest mistakes is making the whole build climb at the same slope. Instead, add automation breakpoint so the rise steepens after beat 3. Make it feel like it's running out of time. And here's an advanced jungle coach note. Anchor your riser to the snare, not the kick. Jungle momentum is felt through snare placement and ghosts. Treat beat 2 and beat 4 like tension checkpoints. If the riser makes its biggest jump on beat 1 or 3, it can feel like it's arguing with the break instead of pushing it. Next layer, the pre-drop micro riser. Last bar only. Create that third layer. Use simpler with a noise sample or operator noise again. Then chain it like this. Auto filter in high pass mode, overdrive, then utility. Automate that high pass from around 200 hc up to somewhere like 2 to 5 kHc over the last bar. Make it sharp and urgent. Then automate utility width from around 60% up to maybe 140% as you approach the drop. But here is the crucial part. Snap it back narrower at the downbeat. If you stay super wide into the drop feels smaller. Width is a contrast tool, not a constant. Now, the vacuum dip. This is the illusion of impact. The last 50 to 150 milliseconds before the downbeat is sacred. If your riser has a bright peak right there, it will mask the first kick and snare. So we create a dip. Option 1 is classic, hard mute, on the FX riser bus. Automate the group volume down to negative infinity for the last 1/8 to 1/4 note, and yes, even 1/16th can be enough. Remember, 1/16th is about 88 milliseconds at this tempo. That's a real breath. Option 2 is more modern. Filtered vacuum. Put oil filter on the riser bus and automate into a tight band pass right before the drop, around 3 to 6 kHc, resonance 0.5 to 0.8. Also dip the output by 3 to 6 dB. You're basically removing power and leaving a little telephone tension, then letting the drop explode back into full bandwidth. Advanced timing move, end early on purpose. Try having the riser finish 1/32nd to 1/16th before the downbeat. That reads as confidence, like the track knows the drop is coming and doesn't have to shove you into it. Even more advanced, if your drums have swing, don't force the vacuum to be perfectly grid straight. Duplicate your break as a ghost groove reference, and place the vacuum where the break would naturally breathe. Often that's just before a tiny hat or ghost moment. When you do that, the lead-in feels like it's part of the break, not pasted on top. Now we need an impact layer on the drop, because the kick alone is not the whole story. Create an audio track called Drop Impact. Layer 2 or 3 elements, a low thump that's short and sub-safe, a mid-crack like a snare smack, and an air splash that's a tiny noise burst. Process with stock devices, equate to shape each layer. For the thump, keep the weight around 50 to 90 hc and cut mud around 200 to 400. For the air, high pass above 2 to 4 kHc. Then drum bus. Drive maybe 2 to 6, keep boom off or very low so you don't wreck the sub, and push transients up until it speaks. Then a limiter just catching peaks, 1 to 2 dB of gain reduction max. Tail control is everything. If the impact has a long reverb tail spilling into bar 1, your first drum hits lose authority. So do this. Put reverb on a return track, then put gate after the reverb. That way you get space without washing over the first bar of drums. Optional but extremely jungle. Make the riser talk to the amen using rhythmic gating. Put gate on the FX riser bus. Enable sidechain and feed it from a ghost drum pattern. A 16th hat pattern works great. Set attack super fast, like 0.1 to 2 milliseconds. Keep hold low, return around 50 to 200 milliseconds. Adjust threshold until the riser pulses in time. Suddenly the riser feels glued into the break, not floating above it. Now, a few common mistakes to avoid as you test this. 1. Linear ramps all the way. 2. Too much low end in the riser. 3. Going super wide before the drop and forgetting to collapse back at the downbeat. 4. Reverb tails smearing into the first bar. And 5. Letting the riser end exactly on the drop with no contrast. Contrast is impact. Before we wrap, here are two darker DNB variations you can try. Instead of pitching up, pitch the tonal layer slightly down, like -2 to -5 semitones, while filtering up and adding distortion. That creates dread without the EDM siren signature. And for pitch tension without obvious semitone ramps, use sense drift. Automate a tiny rise of 10 to 30 cents, then add frequency shifter in fine mode with a small amount, moving faster near the end. It creates anxiety and urgency that's genre credible. Finally, the practice drill that will make this stick. Take one 16 bar build into the same drop. Make three versions of the final bar. Version A, steady ramp, no vacuum dip. Version B, vacuum dip for the last 1/8 note. Version C, vacuum dip for the last 1/4 note plus the gated riser rhythm. Bounce them, level match them, because louder always wins if you don't. Then a slash B with your eyes closed. Ask yourself, which one feels louder without actually being louder? Which one makes the first snare feel most authoritative? And which one keeps forward motion, instead of feeling like the groove resets? If you want to go even further, do three more, an early finish version where the riser ends 1/16th before the downbeat, a swing aware gap aligned to your break's pocket, and a fake out where you imply a micro drop on beat 4, choke it, then hit the real downbeat. That's the whole secret. At 170, the final bar is everything. Accelerate after beat 3. Create a vacuum in the last fraction of a beat. Protect the downbeat transient, and make the riser breathe with the break. When you nail that, your drop doesn't just arrive, it lands.